Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Hi, Dr. Niall Breen from Portmarnock GP Clinic is with us to answer all of your questions in this week's Ask the GP. Niall, good afternoon.
Hi, how are things?
Not bad. 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number. This listener had keyhole surgery for endometriosis 3 weeks ago, Niall. Wondering if they're okay to go swimming or into a pool or a jacuzzi.
The short answer there is probably yes. The great thing about keyhole surgery is you have a much quicker recovery as opposed to somebody who would have a big incision on their tummy. So surgeons differ and some can be kind of fussy about that, the person who did the procedure. But usually 3 weeks, once the person feels up to it, they should be fine to go back to it.
Do they need to contact the surgeon in this case or the officer?
I wouldn't have thought so. No. I think if they had a fairly specific thing that they didn't want them to do that, they may have said it. So I think if I was that person, I would probably start going back swimming again.
Yeah, enjoy the hot tub. This listener is wondering about advice for restless legs. Happens most evenings or when I'm at the cinema or similar situation, it would drive you mad.
Mm. It's a very frustrating condition and it's one that we kind of see a lot, and it's one that I think people don't really understand very well in the kind of general population. Medication isn't very well studied for it. You can get a few kind of medications for it, and as GPs we sometimes do like to make sure somebody's vitamin B12 and their iron levels are both normal. So if this is somebody who hasn't had a GP appointment in a long time, I would consider bloods, again, depending on their age and a few other factors.
When they say restless leg, what do they mean? Mm.
So it means it's just kind of like you can't sit still, your legs are a bit twitchy, that they can sometimes be painful as well. So sometimes people will describe sort of painful, twitchy legs as restless legs. So there can be a lot in somebody labelling it restless legs, but most of all, it's very frustrating for people.
Okay. This texter is looking for your opinion on Prolia 6-month injection treatments for osteoporosis.
My opinion on it is that it's a very good treatment. So if somebody has osteoporosis, they usually have to get a scan every 3 years or so just to check up on that. There are a number of different medications on the market. One of them is a weekly tablet people take, but that can cause heartburn. And it's still a really, really good tablet. It doesn't cause heartburn in everybody. The great thing about Prolia is that you go along to your GP, he or she or your practice nurse gives an injection into your tummy. It's the smallest needle I've ever seen. So if someone has a bit of a needle phobia or they don't like that type of intervention, it's really not something to worry about. You don't have to take a tablet every week because most of the medication is taken only on one particular day in the week.
Yeah.
It does tend to be one that people forget through no fault of their own.
Okay. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. This listener, Niall, is wondering if you have any tips for somebody with widespread versicolor, is that right?
Yeah, it's probably something like pityriasis versicolor or something
that's
like that.
That's it. Yeah, they've been twice to see a skin doctor. It's spreading to their breast and all over their back. It looks like tea stains and it can be a little bit itchy. We've tried medication, but it's actually really annoying.
Okay, so this can be a fairly persistent and recalcitrant type condition that's hard to treat and hard to settle. I think if they've tried a tablet, it depends on how they tried it. So the trying a tablet can mean you take one a day for 3 months, or you can take what's called a pulsed treatment or a more intensive treatment over about 2 to 4 weeks. So if they've tried that and it hasn't worked, and they've also tried a second tablet and it hasn't worked, sometimes using topical shampoos for fungal conditions can be very good. So with that, you actually buy the shampoo and you would apply it to the affected areas, or you can use an antifungal cream. If it's very persistent despite doing those things, you may need to see a specialist, and that specialist will often arrange light treatments and maybe more strong kind of systemic treatments. Once something, I mean, it's not sort of a scary condition, but if it's bothering somebody, it's gone up on their chest and their back and they don't like the look of it, then they should definitely follow through a bit further with it.
Okay. This texter is 36 and says they've started to get a pain in their hip it's on the front of their hip. It feels like it's sticking or locking is the only way I can explain it. I'm wondering what it could be from.
Okay, well, at 36, getting pain in your hip is relatively uncommon. So that's something to me would be a little flag in and of itself. There are two or three conditions that we commonly see around the hip. If somebody is describing sticking or locking, that to me, it kind of thinks that there could be a little bit of gristle or something in the joint that's stopping it moving properly. So I think they probably do need to get an x-ray. They may need to get an MRI scan or something like that, but they definitely do need an appraisal. something scary or sinister here is extremely rare. Like, it's super rare, but you definitely wouldn't want to miss it as a clinician. So if somebody kind of contacted my practice with a query like that, I'd ask them to come in.
Come in. So they need to go to the GP really to get the referral for the X-ray or the MRI.
And a good exam. Yeah.
Listener is female 61 and has burning mouth syndrome. Is there anything you can suggest to help? What is that, first of all?
Yeah, so we don't know what causes it. So it's what we would call a diagnosis of exclusion. So I wonder if this person has already seen a specialist and had loads and loads of tests and they've been given this label. Yeah, so it's basically where you get this sensation of burning in your mouth and we don't really know what causes it, okay? It's very, very frustrating. And I don't really have any particular answers for the person other than that it's definitely worthwhile making sure that if they've gone to their doctor once, maybe consider going again or seeing their dentist, getting a basic set of bloods, things like that.
I was going to ask, is it a dentist query?
Not really. We dentists, you know, generally look after gums, teeth, really, really important role in all that. But this, by its nature, we don't know what causes it. So we don't know if it is definitely dental or medical. But it's worth seeing both. You might go to the dentist and they might spot something that your GP hasn't.
Okay, this listener is dizzy every time they stand still. It's been going on for a while. The doctor gave them tablets for vertigo into day 3. No real effect. 4 more days to go. I'm losing my balance, for example, in the shower.
So when somebody's describing dizziness, for us, the main big differentiator is it like you've stepped off a carousel and the world's spinning, or do you feel like you could faint? And it sounds like that person is feeling a bit faint.
Yeah.
So that's something that requires a bit of follow-up. Now, it could be something very simple, like that they have blood pressure that is being overcorrected or something like that. But it also could mean that something's gone a bit awry with their pulse or something. So definitely somebody who needs a look over.
This listener had an employer-organised cardio screening. They say the only issue noted was elevated blood pressure. They've now started to monitor their own blood pressure before visiting their GP. How much history will my doctor need and will they trust my equipment?
To take the second question first, yes, we usually do trust the equipment. Okay,
yeah.
Most people, you can get a really, really good blood pressure monitor for about a tenner now. Once it has the CE mark on it, that means it has met all its guidance and so on. What I'm usually more concerned about when somebody brings in a blood pressure monitor is how they're measuring it at home. So very briefly, you go to a quiet room, if such a thing exists in your house, by yourself. You don't have caffeine with an hour beforehand. Take 3 readings, top and bottom, ignore the first, write the other 2 down. Don't do it after strenuous exercise or if you're very, very stressed, and do that for about 2 weeks and get a whole host of readings. You don't just go by one reading.
By one.
So your GP will want you to have done that. And they'll also want to know a little bit about your family history, what medicines you take. Have you ever been diagnosed with high cholesterol? Have you ever had any heart issue? And are you a smoker?
Okay, simple as that.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, okay. This listener suffers from severe health anxiety. They think that everything is terminal. Have you any tips?
Well, I suppose the only good thing about that is the person knows what makes them anxious. Sometimes people will have this kind of generalized anxiety and they won't know what's causing it. So this person has recognized a cause. Again, it's one of those things. Anxiety crops up here from time to time. This person needs to see a psychologist or a counselor who will train them in techniques that they can push back on that anxiety. So when that person's feeling this real pressing anxiety coming in, they can come up with a few kind of mental gymnastics that they can do that can push that back. And they're very, very effective.
Okay. This listener, 37, male, they have pain in their back, on the back left side of their head for the past 12 months. It can flare up and down and radiate up to the outside of my head. It's often quite tender to touch.
Mm.
Any thoughts?
Well, there's a muscle that connects in it at the back of the head there. And so for this 37-year-old male, I'd want to know, are they kind of doing weights? Are they kind of involved in sort of strenuous exercise and things like that? And if it's ongoing for 12 months and it's fairly static and like coming and going, then it doesn't sound to me like anything scary, but that might be something from that needs a physio appraisal just to have a look at that. And now, if there's any particular one spot, like a little cystic spot or abscess or something like that, that's totally different. But if it feels very muscular, I'd go along to your physiotherapist first.
First of all, please ask about sunspots, darkening of the skin and patches, and what I can do to remove them.
So sunspots is a word I'm always very careful of. So a sunspot can mean different things to different people. And it kind of means, I suppose, in general terms, it means skin changes where the skin kind of gets quite brown. And in some people, it can be really, really flat and it can be very, very obviously something benign. In other people, it can be kind of raised and sort of almost chalky, and they come off when they take their clothes on and off. It tends to be on the torso. So sunspots, to me, darkening of the skin, I'd get that looked at. Yeah, and most of the time,
GP.
Yeah, it is. And most of the time, it isn't something to be frightened of, okay. But it is something that merits a review.
Where do you go about getting an ADHD diagnosis? I'm female, 30, always performed well in school, but I find it difficult to manage tasks and stay focused, or too much focus on the wrong thing. What could you expect to change after a diagnosis?
So an ADHD diagnosis to get is quite a challenge at the moment. There's been an explosion in people seeking help for diagnosis of ADHD, or I suppose I should say appraisal with the view to potentially getting a diagnosis. So there are psychologists and psychiatrists. To get a diagnosis and treatment, you need to see a psychiatrist. So generally speaking, if there's a really, really good website, ADHD Ireland, and there's a list of clinicians there. And when patients ask me about this, I usually ask them to try and get an appointment with one of those clinicians, and then I'll give them a letter or a referral letter. Mm. But if they can do that bit first and find someone who's taking new patients and who's happy to see them, when they can achieve that, they'll go through an appraisal and the person will ask them, you know, quite a few questions. And if they feel that they need a medication, then they will prescribe it. But your GP cannot initiate that medication. Most of us will continue to prescribe it if a specialist has started it, but we can't initiate it. So it is something that person needs to do a little bit of due diligence themselves around it.
Yeah.
But I've seen people do really, really well. The medication works very well for some people.
And just to the latter part of that listener's question, what can they expect to change after it?
Probably to be a little bit calmer, to find that their focus is a little bit better, to find that they're not jumping from one task to another, to find maybe that their attention span is better. They can sit through a TV program. Maybe they're not interrupting people as much as they used to. That's sort of the ideal scenario. But a lot of people do respond pretty well from the medication.
And is it always medications prescribed?
A lot of the time medication is prescribed. Mm. I wouldn't say all the time, but a lot of the time it's prescribed, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Listen, Niall, thanks a million for coming in today, for answering all of our listener questions. There's many more we didn't get to, so I will say if we didn't get a chance to answer your query today, we'll keep it on file and we'll definitely get to it next Monday afternoon. That is Dr. Niall Breen from the Portmarnock GP Clinic.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.